When you subsidize it, you get more of it, but this harvest will leave you empty. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And all I can say is curiouser and curiouser. The more stuff that comes down the pike, the weirder it gets. And this is the weirdest of the weird.
Well, this one's kind of going beyond the pale, and it kind of hits close to home, I know, especially for you, since you're kind of in the demographic that this is dealing with. Earlier this week, we talked about an executive order that President Barack Obama issued on the late hours of the afternoon on last Friday. He wasn't the only one who was being active on some very devious machinations, let's put it that way. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius was also having her own fun, and I say that with tongue totally in cheek, who basically announced a new regulations coming out of the administration in support of Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. That would basically say that for all student health insurance plans, for college students, at least initially, that these insurers must provide for free sterilizations for young college women. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard me right. I didn't stutter. The Obama administration is going to offer college-age women the ability to become completely sterile for free. You and I, the taxpayers, will pick up the tab, and health insurers will be mandated to provide it as part of the student health insurance package on most college campuses. As you would legitimately figure, this has raised a little bit of an issue, and some people are starting to ask a lot of questions. Well, the people who are starting to give the answers are not President Obama, and they're not HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. The people who are giving the answers are Representative Jan Schakowsky, a Democrat from Illinois, who's on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, who has oversight of the Affordable Care Act. That right there raises a couple of interesting thoughts, that the House Energy and Commerce Committee has oversight over health care issues. Well, it's because it's all commerce, and that's what they're getting down to, is they're going to drive all commerce out. But basically, when Representative Schakowsky was pushed, prodded, poked, or asked just a very soft and direct question about this HHS regulation that was rolled out on Friday, it was interesting to hear Representative Schakowsky and her Democratic caucus head, Representative Xavier Becerra from California, try to spin this.
And spin it is. Now, we're going to play the audio, and if we need to, we'll break in. But pay close attention from what we talked about in some of our logical fallacy episodes that we've done on this program, and see if you can determine what's wrong with how this question gets answered.
I would like to ask about a different aspect of the healthcare law. Do you support the HHS regulation that requires health insurance companies to provide free sterilizations to college-age women who want them?
Does anyone want to respond to that?
You know, attack on women's health care.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I can't let this one pass up. The questioner just asked about the regulation and wanted to find out what they thought about it. That was Jan Schakowsky who started answering and started out with this attack on women's health care. Who's attacking what?
Yeah. What attack?
What attack? There was no attack. There was just a simple question about what is your take on this?
Okay, from a fallacy standpoint, what have we here? We have primarily a red herring.
Mm-hmm.
We're attempting to not answer the question by answering a different question.
That's right. Or setting up the argument so that you can get away with not answering the
Secondarily, question. This is an appeal to fear.
Yes, it is.
You're supposed to be scared that there's an attack on women's health care.
Uh-huh.
So we've got two wrapped up in one, as we explained when we taught that class. What is being said is to the reporter who asked the question, why are you attacking women's health care? This is sort of an implied gotcha answer. Let's go back to it.
I think the compromise that the president has...
The compromise? Okay, first of all, in order to have a compromise, Chuck, you actually have to have two competing viewpoints of this, and I guess it's the we don't pay for sterilizations versus we give them to you for free. So the compromise is we give them to you for free.
Yeah.
This is the Hegelian dialectic writ large,
right.
Except for the fact that the ones who basically, and I don't even know who was making the argument, because this is what they wrote into Obamacare. This is what most of our congressional representatives voted in favor of when they voted on a package they never read.
Well, that's right. Whether they want to admit it or not, they voted at this point now, because they voted to give the power to the president they voted to give free sterilizations to college-age women.
That's right.
Again, we're continuing to answer a question which was not asked with that last answer, the last portion of the answer.
That's right.
Offered and that the rulemaking from HHS, I think, is a good one. This is not about, you know, college-age girls getting sterilization when they want it. No. I mean,
I think maybe Schakowsky, and maybe I'm reading a little bit too much into this, Chuck, so you can bat me back down if that's the case, but I think maybe Representative Schakowsky, methinks she doth protest too much.
Yes. Oh, oh,
and
oh.
She said this little line here and said that, you know, this isn't about, you know, college-age girls getting sterilizations when they want it. The question remains then, are we looking at possibly future regulations that are going to say that certain classes of college-age girls, because of maybe some demographic issues, maybe some other type of health-related issues like genetic markers in their system, that the government's going to say, well, then you shouldn't have children.
Yes.
That's called eugenics, ladies and gentlemen, and God help us, we are going back around again to it's like a dog returning to his vomit, that Scripture says, because we've been down this road before.
Well, that's right. Planned Parenthood's entire basis is eugenics. That's what it was founded on. Remember, Barry, that what is taboo yesterday is permitted today and is required tomorrow.
That's right. And right now, they're going to permit it. And like I said, when you subsidize something, you get more of it. Supposedly, according to the Centers for Disease Control, and as much as you can count on their data, that only of college-age women, and this was based on a study from 82 to 2008, of those who are using contraception, 2.4% of those women have been sterilized.
I'm really shocked it's that high.
I am too, to be quite honest with you. Now, and then they keep going and saying, well, when you get between the ages of 25 and 29, 15% have been sterilized. Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, other than something that is drastically wrong, like with cancers and the fallopian tubes and other things, I'm not seeing where there's a wave of sterilizations out there. But what we're saying is, oh, well, this is part of your health care coverage. So, you know, it'd just be better off. That way you never have to worry about pregnancies or this, and you can continue your college career. I can see how they're going to sell this.
I already know how it's being done. It's women who've had two kids and are having a tubal.
Well, there's that, too.
That's what's going on here. The 25 to 29 demographic,
right.
That's the reason it's so high. Women who've got their two babies, they're now going to have a tubal so they can go the rest of their life without the burden of further childbirth.
Which we've seen, and you and I were talking about this offline, even in Christian circles.
Oh, yeah.
Christian women who are basically talking about how children are such a burden, and if you can't economically cover it, you shouldn't have any more, or you should basically do this type of thing. And Chuck, honestly, like I said to you offline, this is the philosophy of Malthus writ large.
Yeah.
It's utilitarianism, just Benthamite utilitarianism, John Stuart Mill. It's all of this. If it doesn't have utility and it doesn't gain you something, then you're to get rid of it.
Well, it's also surrendering to the idea that a 50% tax, which is essentially what we pay out of our income, about 50% goes to cover taxes hidden and non-hidden, and for corporations that pass along their taxes to us and those kinds of things. We pay about our 50% of our income out. And it's a tacit admission that that's okay, and we'll cut the number of kids rather than having kids, and the government allowing us to keep our money so we can afford to raise those children in a decent lifestyle. It's a really, honestly, a frightening thing.
Okay. And you know what? And before we go back to this commentary, I do want to point out one other thing. And ladies and gentlemen, this was brought to light by CNSNews.com, whose reporter was the voice you heard originally asking the question of this panel, which included Jan Schakowsky, Xavier Becerra. It also included Democrat Caucus Chairman John Larson of Connecticut, Representative Doris Matsui of California, and Barbara Easterling, the president of the Alliance for Retired Americans. It's interesting that the Alliance for Retired Americans president are talking about sterilizing young college girls.
Don't cut our benefits so that people can afford to have more kids.
But just remember, this is the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
Because what the article also says is that these quote-unquote preventive services that they're talking about providing for free to college-age women is the same services that the administration announced in a final regulation released last month in February that will be required in virtually all other health plans sold in the United States. And if we're mandated to buy these health plans, you're mandated to buy this. Again, right now it's free, and they're saying, well, nobody's being forced to do it. And I have to add the line, yet.
Yet.
These situations where, for medical reasons and in consultation with a doctor, that sterilization procedures are warranted for the health of a young woman. Contraception and related procedures Contraception was declared one of the top 10 preventive health services of the 20th century by the Centers for Disease Control, and the reason for these regulations is to protect the health of women, women of all ages, so that they can afford to get the preventive care that they need. This isn't about promoting sterilization. No one, there aren't college girls lining up to become sterilized because they feel like it. And we're talking about medical procedures.
Well, isn't all healthcare about medical procedures?
Well, you know, I feel more comforted that Janet Schakowsky thinks that maybe when we're asking the question about whether or not you support it, that we're not talking about medical procedures. It's like, no, it's in the context of Obamacare. So, honestly, that's kind of silly.
Yeah. So, the CDC is a political body. Don't kid yourself.
I do know that, yes.
I just will add one quick point here. Elizabeth, I hope you and the media, the rest of the folks in the press, will help us with something. When I mentioned, for example, that almost 500,000 new jobs were created in the healthcare sector since the passage of the Affordable Care Act, I wasn't making that number up. You can verify that number. 488,000 jobs have been created in the healthcare industry in the last 2 years. When someone says to you, there's been a government takeover of healthcare, there are death panels, or that the Affordable Care Act is a job killer, it would help if the press were to probe a little further when folks make these outlandish statements.
The fact is, there are death panels. The fact is that 488,000 jobs have been created. Where are they? I want to know what sector of the healthcare provision where they are. I know where some of them are because my doctor has been required to essentially keep an entire second floor of employees to keep records that no one can see but the government.
That's right.
They have to pay people to keep records that the only people that can see them is the government. My insurance company has to get my permission to look at them. The government does not. These are the kind of jobs that have been created. The government does not create jobs. It creates regulation which requires businesses to hire people they don't want to hire and to keep records they don't want to keep. This is a real red herring. Now, if you'll notice here too, this is Vaccara, is it not, speaking?
Yeah, this is Xavier Vaccara.
Xavier Vaccara, who is essentially attempting to steer the press coverage of what they're saying here. In other words, they're asking for favorable coverage. In other words, they're asking for them to spike parts of the story that may not look handsome. When Schakowsky starts out, this answer is really bad. And I think Vaccara understands that and is trying to say, please give us a break on this issue.
Now, when they talk about sterilization, you and I know that they're trying to build this up into something that it isn't. I think Jan clarified very well what the purpose of the HHS rulemaking is. It's for, so a woman, in consultation with her physician, can make a very serious decision. It's not one of these fly-by-night activities that a woman would do without thinking long and hard. And so I hope the press will help us avoid these types of stereotypes and this misrepresentation that's occurring with regard to the actions and the legislation that's out there, because it gives the American public this wrong perception that there, in fact, are death panels, or that the government did take over our health care, or that jobs were killed by the passage of the ACA. That's the farthest thing from the truth, and I hope you all are out there trying to make sure that you're passing along information.
That is simply a passel of lies. Jobs were and are being killed by the passage of the Health Care Act, and here's how it works, folks. The private sector is not hiring new people because they do not know what's going to happen to the cost of hiring an employee. Therefore, they are not hiring employees, knowing full well that they have no idea what it's going to actually cost them to hire them. Therefore, they're getting rid of people that seem to be a little superfluous at the time, and they're not hiring new. The fact is, there are death panels in the Health Care Act. This thing is just simply a passel of lies, and they are begging for positive press coverage. And in some cases, the press will come out and say, yes, indeed, they're right. There are no death panels. It's been proven over and over and over again. There are.
Okay, now the other thing I wanted to touch on was this whole deal about the jobs. And I'm going to do this real quick.
Yeah.
You know, Vaccara is basically saying we've created 500,000 new jobs. Well, maybe those are those officers who have been sent out like swarms to eat out our substance in unelected bureaucracies that are under this 2,700-page bill. But the point is, the Congressional Budget Office of the federal government took a look at Obamacare and estimated that 800,000 jobs would be lost under the full implementation of Obamacare. So I'm not sure where Vaccara is coming up with his 500,000 new jobs, when the CBO itself is saying 800,000 lost jobs. So somewhere there's about 1.3 million job difference between these two.
We're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.